Okay, sports fans, it's time for you. What's happening in this city? The Legion of Boom is doomed. Ichiro is back in the dugout with Edgar. Hockey's coming here, right? I think we're getting a hockey team. And oh yeah, rugby. Seattle's now a rugby town. All of that begging the question, what kind of sports town are we? What does it mean? Fresh-faced newbies dream of the Stanley Cup, and I don't know what they give rugby champions when they win rugby, but maybe we'll have one of those. Or are we a town whose football and baseball teams did not make it to the playoffs last year, and we haven't managed to replace that men's basketball team that we lost to Oklahoma City? Here to hash out our sports identity, Kate Prusser, who is managing editor at Lookout Landing. She covers Seattle Mariners. Nice to meet you.
Hi, so nice to be here.
It is great. Michael Sean Dugar, Seahawks reporter at SeattlePI.com, is back with us. It's a pleasure to see you again. And Jeff Baker, the sports enterprise reporter at the Seattle Times, is here as well. Thanks for coming in. Well, it's spring, so that means a sport is happening, at least one professional sport. The Mariners, them are one game over 500, sounding pretty good. Despite critics, King Felix dealt a win last night, and Area 51 has returned to Safeco. Ichiro, I think, still back in left field. So, Kate, October, here we come?
It's rough. It's a rough outlook in an AL West that is stacking up to be maybe one of the best divisions in baseball, which is unfortunate because the team is off to a pretty good start. I think the chemistry is really clicking. Dee Gordon has been. It's so funny to me that he wasn't talked about that much as an offseason pickup. Everyone talked about the quiet season that the offseason that the Mariners had because they didn't acquire starting pitching, which is what everyone, I mean, it was a need so glaring it could be seen from space, according to most pundits and writers. And even at the site, we talked a lot about, well, who are they going to get? What are they going to do? And the answer is they beefed up the bullpen and they invested some money in getting Dee Gordon in a trade. And he has been, I think, maybe the biggest difference maker in getting the season off to a strong start.
Well, every year I feel like Jeff and Michael Sean, that we say, okay, this is it. Yay. Everything's going great. And then in June, we say, okay, that's the end. And I still believe the indelible image that we have of Mariners baseball is Ken Griffey Jr. grinning under that pileup of his teammates. And that was his first go round as a Mariner. So that's, you know, like almost 20 years ago, I think. So, you know, what is it about, we love this team? Do we are we like those Chicago Cubs fans who like to like revel in being the underdogs?
It was 23 years ago.
Oh, ouch.
If you want to get precise about it, 1995. And yeah, a lot of Mariners fans do point out that the team does like to show highlight clips of that 95 season
over and over
again. Yeah. And part of the reason is there hasn't been that many highlights since that time. There's been a few. I think with baseball, and I covered it for 16 years, and I got sucked in at times covering two teams, the Blue Jays and the Mariners, over the years. I got pulled into believing in teams too early. And the one thing I learned is that you really can't tell what's going to happen in baseball until about June or July, until you see things really start to shake down, until you see whether or not they're going to need to make trades at midseason, and whether or not, with this team, what's especially, and Kate alluded to it, the starting pitching is going to be worth keeping an eye on, especially over the first couple of months, because it's been inconsistent up to this point. We've seen Felix Hernandez look good. We've seen Felix Hernandez look great for five innings. We've seen him look really bad for a few innings. And the rest of the rotation's kind of followed suit that way. You don't know what you're going to get from day to day. Right now, they're on the positive side of the ledger. So it's a decent start. It could be 0-9, and then we'd all be complaining. So this is a lot better.
Well, do we have something about bringing back our old, and I mean old, aged heroes? Ichiro's how old at this point? I mean, I'm delighted that he's here, but man, he's old.
Yeah, baseball's good at that. Baseball's good at honoring its past.
Well, is that a good thing?
Some of it. I don't want to make that blanket statement and not mention a few things. But baseball is for the most part, it's like pretty good at that. It'll celebrate like the old. It does it better than like the NFL, where you'll see like a guy gets old, it's like you're out of here.
Yeah, we did see that.
The thing with like Kobe's retirement year was kind of rare. Like you really don't see baseball or other sports doing it. So I do like that about baseball. And with fans, I do like the drop off from opening day to the rest of the week. It's amazing how crazy a crowd can be there were a lot of opening day,
yeah, 47,
anywhere though,
everywhere, just here.
Like, but yeah, Seattle too. But it's like, it's crazy how many people can come out for opening day, and then like two games later, it's just crickets, right? Like it's like you don't get that in those other sports either, too. Like even if your team's bad, right? In football, you're there in September, you're there, but you're gone. You're still there in November, even if you guys are out of the playoffs.
Isn't that because you paid a fortune for those football tickets, and some of the baseball seats are a little bit cheaper?
Well, also, I mean, football is a little bit better to watch, in my biased opinion. But the drop off is fascinating. You're right. But then, yeah, by June, if your team's not, you know, in contention, you're not caring.
I think you made a good point earlier, Marcy. You said, you know, it seems that we're a town that falls in love with some of these big name players, and I find that pretty accurate. I've worked now in three different cities in two countries. And I can tell you, Seattle definitely loves its name players more than a lot of the cities I've been in. And, you know, at times that's a very good thing. They can be very loyal to certain players. At times not such a good thing. I think that's what's causing a lot of the consternation right now about what the Seahawks are doing, because they're saying goodbye to a lot of name players. And we're just not used to that as a sports town in Seattle. We're used to keeping guys around maybe, a little too long. At times, Griffey's second go-around would be a prime example of that.
I hope that's not the case for Ichiro. I have a soft spot in my heart. Jeff Baker, Michael Sean Dugar, Kate Prusser are here. And Michael Sean, since you're the football guy here, we just heard essentially the Legion of Boom that we loved has departed. And a lot of folks, the fair-weather fans among us, I'm not counting you, but I'm counting myself, we fell in love with the Seahawks because of the Super Bowl win and because of that sort of heady run. I mean, is the 12th man the next to go?
Well, I would hope not, because that means the money's gone.
Ah.
And I like having a place to stay myself, so I would like the money to keep coming in for everyone, so it can, you know, I'm selfish in that regard.
Did those big names leave because of money, or are the Seahawks really looking to reinvent?
Well, it's both, right? Like I was just saying, like baseball's really good at honoring the old and, like, you know, keeping the nostalgia there. Football, you're 30, get out. Like basically, you know, that you see that everyone that you kind of see fading away. Richard Sherman, I think he just turned 30 couple weeks ago. Michael Bennett's over 30. I think Cam's either 30 or about to be 30. Like that. So once you get there, everyone just talks about you like you're 75 and you're not worth anything anymore in football.
Well, or you might be on your way to some sort of traumatic brain injury.
If you don't have like 10 of them already, okay. Right, depending on your position.
I think that people also sort of fell in love with that good, clean image of Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll not doing what Tom Brady and Bill Belichick do to win games. But maybe should the Seahawks be more like Belichick-ish?
Well, I mean, every team should want to win, right? Like, do whatever, like, it's a copycat league, right? So if they're doing this to win, you know, you should try it. But I think what happened was, I kind of think of it like you have, like, a boy band or someone you grew up with, you know, and then they break up and you're all sad and you want to recapture the love. But then they add these new people and it's just not the same. Because what you really fell in love with was the people, but you also fell in love with the moment.
Yeah.
Too. So, like, I caution the Seahawks fans. Like, there's going to be good players, right? Seahawks are going to have good players because Pete and John know what they're doing. But to recapture the moment with the Legion of Boom is going to be hard because, you fell in love with Richard and Earl and Cam and Russell and everybody because you saw them grow. But, like, you also fell in love with the moment, too, because there was, like, this ascension with, like, the 12s and the city and them all together. Like, that won't be recaptured. Doesn't mean the team won't be good, but I don't think that will be recaptured.
Is this, you, Jeff, you've worked other places, is this a unique Seattle response to teams, or is every city this attached to a sports team?
I think it comes in degrees. I mean, Seattle's still a relatively young sports city in terms of, I mean, you mentioned the Chicago Cubs earlier. I mean, they didn't win a World Series for a century. There's a huge difference between what's going on in that city, which has had that kind of exposure to sports for a long period of time, versus what's going on here. And we are still relatively young. We're going through a bit of a transition phase right now because we're going to have new teams coming on board. We're going to go from being a city that wasn't really on the map to being one that's going to have five professional teams any minute now. So I mean, you know, it's a bit all over the map as far as that goes. I think the fans here did fall in love with the Seahawks predominantly because they won a championship, and we don't do that very often in Seattle. So there was a lot to like.
Well,
about that team.
I find it really intriguing that this professional hockey team that's not here yet already sold 33,000 season tickets for the 2020 inaugural season and is getting an old boss, Seattle Hockey Partners, named former Seahawks CEO Todd Lewicki as the new president of, I don't know what is.
He's going to be the new president and CEO of the hockey group, the hockey team, which has yet to be announced. It's going to be announced in June.
Okay. Will he do a good job for hockey, Michael Sean, like he did for football?
Well, I think Jeff is the resident hockey expert.
Okay. Are you the hockey man?
I guess by default. I was born in Canada, okay. So that makes me 90% of the hockey
You're guy. Genetically.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, Todd Lewicki, he spent years running the Tampa Bay Lightning. He transformed that franchise from what was really a doormat franchise in the NHL. They did win a Stanley Cup prior to that, but they really weren't connecting with the fans. And by the time he left, they had connected with the fans there to the point where they were selling out every game. They have one of the best in-game experiences in the NHL. Once you get inside the arena, there's a lot he can do in the sport of hockey that was done here with the 12s, with the Seahawks fans in football.
And there's this other team, and Kate Prusser, you had to ask about it before we went on the air. The Seattle Seawolves are making their debut Sunday, the 22nd of April, in Tukwila. That's a rugby team. Did you even know that was happening?
No.
Okay.
Honestly, I'm not entirely sure what rugby is. Is it like cricket? Are there bats?
No, it's kind of like football. Without as much carnage, there is, but it's just like, you know.
But everyone, they don't wear any helmets or pads.
So like they got headgear. I think.
Do they have the leather helmets? Like,
I don't know.
Old-timey football players.
Okay, it's not like that.
I'm just telling you.
No, they do not. They do not wear helmets.
Right, they wear shorts.
Yeah, no helmets. I do know that.
You can Google it and you see all those guys from New Zealand doing those haka war chants. That would be fun if they did that here.
I'll have to ask them if they're going to do that. It's actually a new professional rugby league that has just started up.
A new league?
Yeah, an entirely new league. It's a nine-team league, 8 or 9 teams. I'm trying to remember. They've got a 9th team, I think, coming in next year from New York. But right now they're going to start off, I believe it's an 8-team league. And I should know this already, but I don't. They've actually got a few television deals, including here locally. And so that's a good start for the league. They've apparently sold out their season tickets, and I believe they've sold out a couple of their early games. They're going to play at Starfire in Tukwila. And so that should be interesting to go and see. And if you ask them, they'll tell you rugby is completely different from football. I don't know. I'll have to go see.
I guess we'll have to go see. I can't not mention soccer because the Sounders have a massive following, loyal fans. They have, I guess, it seems to me that there's a lot of different kind of cups in soccer. So it's not like you win the World Series. It's like you can win any number of things, and they seem to have won some of those things. So that's good?
Yeah, it's very good. The MLS Cup is kind of like the World Series, and they won that in 2016, and they lost that this past December. But then they have other cups, the U.S. Open Cup, which is the biggest open championship in the States, and then they just played in the Champions League because they won that MLS Cup 2 years ago. So now they get to play against other champions from other countries. They made it to the quarterfinals of that, and then they lost down in Mexico.
So, Michael Sean Dugar, are we now a soccer city and not a football city?
Not yet. The Sounders crowd is kind of crazy. I think I actually went to my first Sounders game like last year.
Did you sit down at all?
A little bit.
Because I hear most people just stand up.
Oh no, it was great. Well, I don't have the energy for all that all the time. Yeah, I'm only 25. I got old body. Because of sports. That's why I like to mention the danger of sports. Man, I limped in here, man. I'm probably the youngest person in the room. But I think we'll still be a football town as long as the biggest name in sports is the quarterback here in town.
Kate Prusser, are we a baseball town?
I hope that under the new ownership, under the new regime, under DePoto, we can recapture the baseball glory of years past. I really like the direction that they're trending in. I think that they've done some things that haven't worked. They brought in a bunch of flyball pitchers last year at the same time the flyball revolution was happening.
I don't even know what that is. Does that mean
how
making
much
somebody
the ball gets hit in the air?
I see. I deduced that, but I didn't. So that was a bad thing to do.
It was an ill-timed experiment. Okay. They have backed off of that. They have gone to more ground ball pitchers. They're not afraid to say what doesn't work. So,
you know, one thing we haven't talked about is that we do have a multi-award-winning team here, and that's a women's basketball team, Seattle Storm. What role, if any, do the two professional women's sports teams play, the Reign and the Storm?
Well, I think they play an important role in the city, not just as role models for female fans, but just, you know, for fans definitely for basketball, as far as the Storm goes, because they're the only professional basketball team in town. And then, you know, women's soccer is you know, a very popular sport for kids growing up. And, you know, it's great to be able to have role models on the women's side of the game, which is, you know, it's not a completely different game from the men, but our women are in the United States are some of the best soccer players in the entire world, unlike the men's team, which is still getting there. So, I mean, I think it's an important role to play for secondary sports fans as well, who don't necessarily want to spend thousands of dollars on season tickets. A lot easier to go see those games.
They're also more, they win more than the men's team. So if they perform better, why do we still prefer to pay money to watch the men lose?
Well, I'll take that one since I've got a big mouth. I think that I think that in general, there's a perception that the men's players that are out there are playing the sport at the highest possible level in the world. There are people that will tell you if you put a men's team against a women's team, the men's team will win every time. And I think that it's that kind of mindset that permeates it. And it's also the hype, the media hype that surrounds it, the television contracts. I mean, you can't go anywhere without seeing you know, an NFL football game, and you know that this is, yeah, you know, the big spectacle. This is the big world-class sport. You know, it's not quite like going to see a Seattle rain game at Memorial Stadium, where, you know, you'll have 5,000 people in the stands. A little bit different.
I mean, if I could just interject briefly, I think you saw that dichotomy in the NCAA tournament this year. The women's tournament was so much more interesting than the men's tournament. The games were much closer. You had the big upset with Notre Dame knocking off UConn. I mean, it was thrilling. And yet, March Madness, all of that is filtered through the men's basketball. So, unfortunately, I think it was Kobe Bryant who tweeted out that, well, if you say that you like basketball, but you only watch men's basketball, you don't like basketball, you like entertainment. You like dunks, you like the showiness, you know, you like the trappings of the sport and maybe not the fundamentals of the sport.
I got to give Michael Shawn the last question, because it's something not so much about playing the game, but about the NFL in general and the politics around the league and Seattle being sort of a predominantly liberal town. We have embraced demonstrations of political solidarity by ex-Seahawks like Michael Bennett. What role do you think that this team plays for us in when we think beyond the sport itself?
I think in terms of the political stuff, like, there is a perception, like with Paul Allen and just the ownership, John and Pete, that, like, it's a little bit more free here. Like, even last year, Seattle was the only team to give Colin Kaepernick even a job interview. All right, like, that's significant. They didn't give him a job, which is a bit more significant. But, like, Seattle does have that perception. Like, this kind of area does, too. Just like it's, I guess liberal is the word I'll use kind of loosely. And that's important, because, I mean, you can, if you don't have that perception, I mean, people still go to your games, right? People still go to Ravens games, and they'll still go to Houston Texans games. They probably shouldn't, but they will. But that's important, though. Like, people want to believe that you can, your owner's not just, like, I don't know, racist. Like, you want to feel like that. Like, cause you can go talk to a Texans fan right now and be like, dude, your owner sucks. And they have no retort, right? Like, that's really important in today, right now, with everything that's going on. Like, you don't want your owner aligned with the president right now, which is a weird statement to say, but it's accurate.
So we want our teams to win, but we also want our teams somehow to reflect us in a way. So having strong women's teams, having teams with progressive values, and having teams that bring back old guys like Ichiro, who can still jump and stop a home run. So, you know, he's a symbol for all of us gray hairs. I'd like to thank our panelists, Kate Prusser, who's managing editor at Lookout Landing, covering the Mariners, Michael Shawn Dugar, Seahawks reporter at SeattlePI.com, and Jeff Baker, multi-sports watcher. He's the sports enterprise reporter at the Seattle Times. Thanks, all of you, for coming in today.